But anyways, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to look at verse number 16. Then we're going to go down to verse number 27. We're going to look at the incorruptible crown tonight, the incorruptible, the final one here. And hope this will be a blessing to you. A very important crown we're looking at today. And we're starting off with a little bit of a context. I could go a little further back, but I decided to start at verse number 16. We're looking at the Apostle Paul and his ministry to people and just some of the things that he had to do to actually win people and to gain people. And so I think that has a lot to do with the crown and how that you have to really control yourself and you have to really have your focus right in order to be used by God in a powerful way. And so verse 16, this is what he says: "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without the law, as without the law, but not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring into subjection, lest that by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let's pray. Father, I just ask you to just guide me in this lesson today and help me bring the things to the top that I need to talk about. And I pray, Lord, this would help us, Lord, really focus past this earth, past the things that we think are so important, and realize that there's heavenly reward. Lord, help us to be a people that are faithful in our spirit and our heart to you. I pray, Lord, that we would allow these rewards to motivate us and help us to be the Christians that we ought to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at this lesson. I just got to get my iPad unlocked. It should be right there. There it is. And the first thing I want to talk about is just simply preaching. He's talking about preaching the gospel. There's a couple of words that he's mentioning here in verse number 16. He says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me." Necessity. The word necessity really just means, well, that it's necessary. It's necessary, which means there's a compelling force. When you feel something is necessary, it's different than if you feel that it's optional. Amen? Well, that's optional. Well, then it's not a big deal. So we can do it. We don't have to do it. But if something is necessary, then you are compelled to go and do it. So what he's saying is the preaching of the gospel to me is necessary. It's a necessity. It's not an optional thing. So I think one of the first things is we got to settle in our hearts and minds as believers. If we want to gain crowns, we got to stop this optional business. We got to stop this mindset that somehow, well, it doesn't really matter how involved I get in the ministry. Well, folks, if you want the rewards of God, it really does matter how much you think is necessary and how much you think is optional. And we're living in an age where people think things are optional. It doesn't really matter. You could choose and not choose. Well, folks, there's something real about that particular statement. I think that all of us have liberty to choose what we want to do. The Lord freed you for that. That means he's not holding you to the law, that if somehow you disobey the law, you're going to hell. That's not happening. He set you free so you could choose. But so you could choose out of a motivation, out of the thing that actually made you free in the first place, and that is the cross of Calvary. See, when he died on the cross, he set you free. But he was hoping that the cross of Calvary would become a motivation for you to actually change your freedom back to servitude. But do it by choice, not by coercion. So what we have to do is we have to make a decision. Is this optional or not? Is the house of God optional? Is me telling others about Christ optional? Is me reading my Bible optional? Now you say, well, I don't have to read. Nothing tells me I got to read my Bible today, this minute. No, but we're not talking about have to anymore. We're talking about want to and get to. Amen. The crowns isn't about have to. The crowns are about want to. Amen. We're living in a different world now. We're not living by the law. That's why when people come to me sometimes and they say, well, where does it say I have to? I'm saying, you're in a different world, my friend. I can't understand you. Your language is like this. It's like, I don't know what you're saying because you're living in a different world. You're in a different world than me. My world is a bunch of want to's and get to's and this have to stuff. I'm sorry. You're still living in an age that's long been done away with in the cross of Calvary. Amen.
Yeah.
We've got to get into this new place, into this new mindset, into this new thought that Christ has given us, so that we can be free to choose to become slaves again. Wow. Well, I don't like that sound of that. well, you don't have to either. You can continue to be free and not bind yourself. That's a lot of Christians do that. They stand around the peripheral and they just stay free. Stay free. But you won't get a crown. You'll forfeit a crown. And so don't think you'll get the best of both worlds here. Amen. You got to make a choice. I got to make my choice because that's where the crowns are. And as I was looking at this passage, it really just became so clear to me that crowns are something that is done very much by your decision. And not just decision, but there has to be an ambition behind that decision. It's not done by osmosis. It's not done by an automatic process. It's something that we give ourselves to and focus on in a very direct way in order to get the crowns that the Lord wants for us. And it may not necessarily, I'm doing this all for the crowns, but we're doing it for something. And whatever that something is going to result in the crown. And that something should be to glorify God with our lives. And in the glorying of God, we see souls come to Christ. We see all these things take place. And we see the crowns on the last day. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. And so necessary. So that's the first thing I wanted you to see. The second word here is, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. So he's talking about reward, but he says, I have to do this willingly in order to get a reward. So nobody can coerce me or push me or try to manipulate me or make me do anything. I can do things that way, but I won't get a reward.
Yeah.
Any reward that I'm going to get is going to be based on my will involved in that process. And so willingly means unconstrained. It means gladly, you know, it's sometimes I like using my kids as example because they're so easy to use. Because when you ask them to do something, sometimes they jump up before I even finish my sentence. And, whoa, you know what I feel like doing at that point? Go buying them something. We're going to town. Hey, guys, I need some help moving something in the church. And they're up in the truck. I said, yeah, we're going to stop by Dairy Queen on the way home. See, that's how you get the reward, when you do it willingly. Amen?
Amen?
But when they're sitting there and they're just, oh, they don't do that. Yeah, they do. Yours do too. You know that. They don't always jump up when you want them to jump. Maybe some of you are. Well, then you need to teach my kids. But the thing is, sometimes, oh, I just want to sit around, you know, enjoy the day. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like. And I take those opportunities and say, son, I understand you don't want to. And not wanting to is a pretty normal thing for sinners like us, you know. But the thing is, just because you don't like doing something doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. Because sometimes you got to do the things you don't like to do. And that's the conversation we have. Now, they never really get to the point where they say, oh, Dad, I really understand that. You're really teaching me. That's very wise. It takes a period of transition, amen, from the couch to I'm getting ready and so forth. And then by the time I'm in the truck, they're kind of there. And then by the time we get there, oh, yeah, it's okay now, you know. But we got to teach our kids these things. You got to teach them. You got to do things you don't like to do sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, well, I just don't feel like it. Oh, you don't feel like it. Well, then we better not let you do this because your feelings should be your guide. I should teach you to live your life by your feelings. Then everything will be just okay. No, I mean, you say feelings, man, that should be dad's cue. Whoa, we really need to kick it up a notch now. Amen? Because certainly I don't want my children to operate by feelings. Now, I understand sometimes you just don't feel. And sometimes the situation lends itself for you, your feelings to actually come to life, man. It's like, oh, I can't go now because of this. Oh, too bad, Dad. I was just deciding to go. Yeah. Oh, I can go now. Oh, really? You know how kids are. But you know, feelings ought not to be the basis for any decision you make. Willingly. We have a responsibility that has been placed on each of us, and we ought to be willing. And that's the next word I want you to see, is the word responsibility. Well, where do you see that word? Well, this is what he says here. He says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So what he's saying is this. The word dispensation is this. To be a manager of a household. It means the responsibility or an arrangement of an administration of a house or property or over one or another's property. So I'm supposed to be a manager. So what he's saying here, if I do this unwillingly, he says, I have got a stewardship, a responsibility that has been entrusted to me. So this is what keeps him going. He says, willingly, great, gladly we'll go do it. But if I choose to do this unwillingly, I need to remember this, that there is a responsibility that's been placed on my life that I've been entrusted with, that I simply just have to do it, even though sometimes I don't want to do it. Even though the ship sinks. Even though they throw stones at me. Even though I don't have food. Even though I don't have the right clothes for the job. I have to do what God has called me to do. I've been entrusted with the dispensation of the gospel. Now, he had a huge responsibility in that. You read that in the book of Acts. You know, after Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, that's all him. Almost from 9 to 20, what is it, 2? I forget right now. 24. Anybody know? My mind slips. But you know, that's a lot of chapters. The Apostle Paul. Now, there's a couple in there, Peter's there too. But a lot of that is really just devoted to the life of Paul, that God put his life in that book to show that how important of a position he had in getting the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, he could do the same thing with each one of us. He could say, I could write a lot of chapters on what I want you to do. Because you have a responsibility. I think sometimes we think that our life is, you know, it's kind of just laid out there and nothing is really, nailed down as such. And that it's kind of up to us to find out what direction we're supposed to go. And we don't really understand that our dispensation has already been chosen for us. The plan of God for your life has already been chosen for you. You don't have to come up with a plan. You just have to submit as the Lord reveals His plan to you. That's all it ever was for me. You know, when I started, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm glad I didn't have to come up with a plan. I would have really messed it up. I just simply always took the steps in front of me. Always. It's when I begin to misstep or I begin to take a step that isn't of God's revealed will, that's where I make my mistakes. Amen. And it's usually because I'm not willing to go this way. Well, that's the way that God wants you to go. You have to take those steps. Well, that's hard. I understand it's hard. It's difficult. You know, Airdrie wasn't my first stop either. You know, looking at it now, I wish, oh, this would be my first stop. But, you know, I wouldn't have been ready for Airdrie. The Lord knew where I needed to be when I got here. And that took me probably 16 or 17 years to get to that place. So as I'm in my first ministry, I'm thinking, oh, this is what God wants from my life. He's saying, he's saying, you don't know what I'm doing in your life. And you know what? The same thing, it's the same thing today for me. That's the way I live my life. Maybe he's preparing me for even something else. I don't know. I ask him to leave me here. I do. I always tell people, I want to be buried here. That's okay with me. It doesn't really matter where I get resurrected from, but I'd sure like to be in energy. That'd be great. It's where my heart is. Amen. But you know, we just simply have to realize that God's got a plan for us. It's a dispensation that's been committed or entrusted to you. And so we've got to be careful when we're not willing to do what God's asked us to do. So the reward, it has to do with responsibility, has to do with willingness. It has to do with us believing there's a necessary thing that's laid in front of us. And that's not optional. Like, we're living our life, man. Just because you got a lot of money doesn't mean things are optional. Just because you're poor doesn't mean things are optional. At both ways, it could be that way. I've had people, I don't have enough money to get ready for the ministry. Sorry, it's not optional. If God's calling you, whether you're poor or whether you're rich, it really doesn't matter. You have to aim at the same plan that God has designed for you. Amen? It really doesn't matter. Second word I want you to see here, the main word, the first one is preaching. The second one is serving. Notice what it says in verse 19. It says, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And then he goes through that whole line of things that he becomes in order to reach the person that he wants to reach. To the weak, I become weak. You know, many times, folks, by the way, and don't laugh when I mention this topic, but it's important in the scripture because you see it over and over and over again. The Jews had such a thing that was called circumcision. And that circumcision would actually identify them as the people of God, the physical seed of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. And so that was a big deal to Jews. And so basically, as this church started, Jews were being saved, and then their children would get saved, and then Greeks would get saved. They'd all kind of mix together in their church. And now the question was, well, aren't you supposed to identify the same way as we identify? Well, we know the Bible says that we've been made free. So, no, you don't have to. And folks, please don't let anybody tell you that you have to do that. Yeah. That's not a scriptural thing, okay? There was one, he told Timothy, we need you to be circumcised so we can reach those people. Now, did he have to? No. But he was free, but he made himself a servant because there were certain people that he had to reach into and be used by God to reach. But you know, then there was Titus. You know what he told Titus? You're not. Wow. Well, what's the difference? Now, it's not, it's really the event itself has nothing to do with it, but he's trying to teach a principle here that it's not about the identification of one certain people. It's about you learning what you need to do to reach that particular group of people. I remember listening to missionaries and they would say, I'm going to Thailand or I'm going here. And you know what one of their delicacies are? Dog. So they invite you over. They have a fire and a barbecue. And here you are trying to win these people. And they're just overjoyed to see you there. And they're going to give you their very best dog. I could imagine a little Pippi. You know? And I said, well, what did you do? He said, I ate the dog. Amen. Ate the dog. Go. See, you're free to do what you want. But if you truly want to be rewarded by God, there are times in your life that you have to choose to make yourself a servant to others. Yeah. And that's what the Apostle Paul said he was going to do. You're free. You're all free. Do what you want. But not if you want a reward. That's the thing. So a lot of people, they'll maximize on the free thing. And they'll say, oh, I'm free to do whatever I want, preacher. I don't need a preacher. I got anointing above that tells me, teaches me everything I need to know. I don't need a preacher telling me what to do. Then go teach yourself. But I'll tell you something. When you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be a sad time. And folks, it's not your burden either. It's not just because I got a burden. It's not because I want to do something for God. He's not interested in you doing anything for Him. He is only interested in you doing something with Him.
Yeah.
That means the plan is laid out. He says, when that door opens and He's working His plan, He's got it just moving along throughout this timeline. He opens the door when you're standing right next to Him. Hey, I want you to join in right here, right here. Oh, Lord, I would do that, but I got a plan over here. I'm going to reach these people. These are the ones I want to reach. And the Lord says, this door is for you.
Yeah.
Now you're free. But if you walk through this door, you got to make yourself a servant. But you'll get a reward. You'll get a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Be careful, because you wait too long and He closes the door on you. Amen. That's only if you're being obstinate. It's only if you're being selfish and prideful. That's none of us in here. Amen. We all want to do right. We all want to walk through the door that the Lord's called us to. And I'll tell you something. As long as you want to do that, everything's just going to be fine. You don't have to sit here and worry about, oh, I'm in this church, I should maybe be somewhere else. No, if you're here, this is where you need to be. But the Lord may open a door through your local assembly, through your church, because He's not going to pull you out some other way. He's going to work through this body. And He's going to say, I like what's in that body there. And I'm going to take that arm, I'm going to give it a couple more joints. I'm going to extend it out a little further. And so this body will extend further than Airdrie through you. That's what He does. But notice, you're still connected. You're still a part of the body. There's no amputations in God's calling. Well, I'm just going to leave and do my own thing. Amputate. So you're like an arm flapping out there. No connection, no blood flow, no strength, no oxygen, no support, no authority, no brain. I should have said that. It was funny, though. Free choice. He says, you're free. That means capable of movement. You're the free one. You're unconstrained. You're unfettered. I'm independent. I'm free from all men. I don't owe anybody anything. Corinth, I don't owe you anything. But I'm going to become your servant anyways. That's what it means. It means to volunteer as a slave. Yet I made myself a servant unto all. I'll make myself a slave. Now, I was trying to remember the people. Was it the Moravians? Who were they? To reach the people in... the name is... Paul. You're here for a reason. Tell me. Is it the Moravians?
Yeah, they're Moravians.
The Moravians? Yeah, well, they reached a certain group, and this was a slave. This country was slave. They owned slaves there. And their burden was to win these slaves. But the thing is, because they were free, they weren't allowed close to them. So they volunteered themselves to become slaves to these owners just so they could win the slaves. Wow. Volunteer to become... I should have got that illustration ready for you, but you get the picture. Volunteer. Pardon me?
They sold themselves into slavery
for the sake of the lost, to win their souls. What kind of crazy person would make themselves a slave when they're free to leave? You know, the world would think you're nuts.
Yeah.
See, that's why you can't allow the world to dictate what kind of Christian you're going to be. Because they would never lead you to the will of God. They will always promote your freedom. They'll always promote your liberty. They'll always promote your rights. Rights. I have my rights. And we do have rights. But folks, at some point, we've got to make a decision that we're willing to give up our rights for the lost. It may not be today, but there may be a day for you that you may have to give up your right for the lost. Wow. Give up your freedom. Third big word I want you to see here is the word running. It says in verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." So the first thing I want you to see here is the goal. Run to obtain. This is a reward for those that are willing to set a goal to reach the finish line faithfully. I'm running like I want to obtain. And the word obtain means to take, to apprehend, to attain, or to find it. This is very purposeful. I'm setting a goal. I'm running this race to obtain something. That's what I need to do if I want this reward. Now, if I'm just getting up in the morning, I've got no goal. I've got no purpose but to put money in the bank account. No purpose but just to pamper myself and buy toys. I'm sorry, we are going to lose that reward. We're going to lose that reward. The Christian does not run the race in order to get to heaven. We know that. He is in the race because he's been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what put you in the race, because you are saved. And it's not talking about a competition. And notice what it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." So now in a race, what you do is you got somebody beside you, and your motivation in that is to beat that person. Sometimes time is a motivation, but really, a lot of the time, especially in short sprints and things like that, it has to do with actually getting there before this guy gets there. Yeah. But that's not the Christian motivation. He's not telling you it's a competition. He's just saying with the same mindset of obtaining the goal is the same way you ought to be as a believer to obtain the reward for the Lord. But my motivation is not to beat the next guy. And then some Christians are like that. It's all about competition. It's all about what's this guy doing? Well, he's not going so winning. Why should I? What you're trying to do is run a race beside somebody. If that person stops, then you stop. If they run, then you run. That's a bad motivation. Your goal ought to be to win the prize. And the prize isn't to beat somebody. Your prize is to get the reward and to get that well done, thou good and faithful servant. That ought to be your reward. The goal is a mastery. Notice what it says there. It says, let me get there. It says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery," the mastery. The word mastery or striving for the mastery is to contend for victory. It's an attainment of eminent skill or power. So when you're preparing to gain a mastery, what you're doing is you're conditioning yourself in such a way that you are going to get the very most out of your life to get that reward. Mastery, what a word. It reminds me of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. How Daniel was in the den for one night, and you thought those lions would have chewed him up, but the Lord held their mouths shut. And the next day, the king comes. Darius, this is Daniel. "Did your God save you?" "Fear not, O king. I'm alive. I'm okay." Oh, he was overjoyed.
Yeah.
But it just dawned on him that he had been cheated. He had been deceived, the king. He's been deceived by his men that wanted to put Daniel in that lion's den. He understood the reason why they came to him and made him make that law about prayer was because they simply just wanted to kill Daniel.
Yeah.
Now, when a king finds that out, man, you're in big trouble here. Especially one that has the power to throw you into a lion's den. And so what did he do? He said, "Go get all those men. Go get all their wives. Go get all their children." And they threw them into the lion's den. Well, it doesn't matter because the lions weren't hungry anyways. No way. They were famished. know what the Bible says? That those lions, they had the mastery over those people. What does that mean? That means that those people did not have a chance. They didn't have the power. They didn't have the ability. They couldn't stand against those lions no matter how hard they tried. They could have said, I'm going to really give her, and guess what? They would have been down in a flat second. Because when you get the mastery, you're going to win. You're going to win. So when the Bible tells us we're supposed to get this crown, we're supposed to strive for the mastery, we're supposed to be a lion jumping on a meal and saying, guess what? You're going down. Not this stuff. That's the last time I'm doing it. Sorry. Not that kind of stuff. Oh, life is so hard. Everybody doesn't like me. It's so tough. Get the mastery. Amen? Strive. Strive. Contend. Put yourself to it like you're going to win this thing. There's no power that's greater than my determination to finish this race.
Yeah.
And when the opposition comes against you, you say, sorry, you're going to lose.
Amen.
When that family member wants to stop your Christianity, you say, good try, but you're going to lose. When that friend at school wants to offer you a cigarette or some booze or some drugs, you look them square in the eye. You say, you're going to lose, friend. Because I'm striving for the mastery here. I'm going to win this race. I'm going to cross the finish line. I'm going to meet my Lord. And He's going to give me a crown. That's what we're talking about here. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It doesn't say work for eternal life. It doesn't say that somehow this is going to dictate your salvation. But what it's saying is this. Don't live your life for the temporal. Don't live life for the instantaneous gratification. Live life for that eternal promise. Live life for that reward. Live life for Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you get what I'm saying. Or when tonight we're not supposed to get excited about the things of God. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Boy, that's a good verse. Read your Bible with mastery. Win souls with mastery. Go to church with mastery. Be a church member with mastery. Amen. You want to know how to win this crown? It's not just about talking about running with your legs. I'm so glad it's not talking about running with your legs. I tried to sprint today. I was returning a cart at Walmart. My knee felt good. And I ran real fast. No, I didn't. I was able to get a really off rhythm jog going. I said, well, that's the first time I've done that in a year. You know, it's more than your physical running.
Yeah.
We're talking about your spiritual life. You're not going to read your Bible. You don't care what the Bible says. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to turn to God when I've got a problem. I'm going to complain. I'm going to cause problems. The Lord forbid that I would take mastery over my prayer life and fast and pray if I want to see change. Amen? That's a pretty important one in relation to this reward, I think. We as Christians, we got to be wanting that mastery to obtain. It'll take great effort for us to do that. But many of us are not willing to pay the price for the mastery. Too many things are rolling us over. Too many things are stealing our victories. Too many things were giving too much power. Too much power. Oh, I can't do this. Well, no, you're just given that power. See, having the mastery means that I have more power than that. When I don't have the mastery, then all of a sudden that has more power than me. When I start saying, well, I just can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Well, you're giving up your crown. You're giving up your crown. Because that is not the incorruptible crown. The incorruptible is, I will, by God's strength and power.
Yeah.
I will, and I'm going to take the mastery of this thing. I'm going to obtain, I'm going to reach my goal, and I'm going to see Jesus when he comes, and I will not be looking to the ground. I'm going to be looking him square in the eyeball. That's the difference between those that have won the mastery and those that haven't. Say, what's the big deal? That little, folks, we should be willing to live our whole life for that second time. In that 1 second when you see Jesus, your eyes will either meet his or your eyes will hit the ground.
Yeah.
The Bible says many will be ashamed at his coming. What is the word ashamed? The word ashamed means that I've been putting my trust, my confidence in something other than the thing that will take me through. Then when it came to the end, that's why whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed.
Yeah.
It means if you trust Christ as your Savior, he's going to carry you through. There's never going to be a time you say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I would have just followed my false gods. No, it wouldn't. It's not going to happen. You call upon the name of the Lord, you're never going to be ashamed. You give your life to following the Lord and having the mastery over your life and over your situation, you are not going to be ashamed. You live your life to be pure and right and to live a holy life and to be pure in your life and to keep yourself unspotted from this world, you will not be ashamed.
Amen.
You be a good church member. You be faithful to the things of God. You listen to the Word of God and you make decisions in your heart. Every time the Word of God is opened up and you stick to that decision, you move forward in it.
Yeah.
And you will not be ashamed. I guarantee you that. By the authority of the Word of God, I can say that. Amen?
Yeah.
The goal is certain. Look at verse 26. It says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. Now I get the picture of like shadow boxing, but that's really not what it's saying either. It's not just saying I'm fighting no opponent. It's really, this word is talking about flailing. So it's like, I don't know where I'm punching. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants type of thing. That's what it's saying. That word uncertainly means irresolutely, without attending to the prescribed marks or lines, without exposure to the spectators who are there to judge the race or the performance. No thought of accountability, no thought of boundaries, no thought of markers, lines, and things that I'm supposed to stay within. I'm flailing and thinking that somehow, when I meet the Lord, I'm going to get this crown. That reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I'm here to please the Lord. This is my goal. This is what I want to do. I want to please God. Then it goes on to say, and if a man also strive for masteries, same phrase, yet is he not crowned except he strive, what's the word? Lawfully. Lawfully. That's what Paul's saying. I'm not just swinging my arms around here, not knowing what I'm doing, flying by the seat of my pants. I am striving for the mastery, and I'm striving lawfully within the markers, within the boundaries. I pay very close attention. Folks, there's a reason why when the Lord brought me here, that He gave me that vision for this church. I don't hear a lot of that in churches today. But you probably hear about boundaries and holiness standards and things probably more than you've heard in a very long time. You probably have never applied that maybe to the local assembly the way that we do it here. And the reason why we're doing that is because when you meet the Lord, you want to know that you have stayed within the lines. Lawfully. Lawfully. Doesn't it feel good to be in a place where the boundaries are looked at something that's important and you can bring your children there and you know that they're going to be taught to stay within the boundaries of the Christian life so that they can meet the Lord one day and the Lord can say to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not like everybody will. There'll be those that'll jump outside the lines, but it won't be for the lack of us telling them where the lines are. Amen. It's important. It's not law-based Christianity. It's about winning the race. It's about finishing at the finish line. It's about getting the reward. Amen. This is not about have to. This is about want to. And if I want to, I've got to stay within the boundaries of the race. Any Greek could have chosen to run in the race during the games. Anybody and all of the citizens could say, hey, I'd like to run in this race. It was open to everybody. Now, if I'd be there, I'm not stupid enough to say that. But if I felt that I had what it took and I went into this thing, they would say, sure, come on in. And they would have a little bit of a boot camp thing and they'd get you prepared and they'd teach you a few things and how things are going to, they teach you the rules and the boundaries and so forth. And if I begin to go outside of those boundaries, even in the training, they say, you're not running this race. And they kick me out. Even in the training. Amen.
Amen.
They took it seriously. They didn't want to make a mockery of their games. They were looking for something real. When that starting line, I don't know how they started. They didn't have a gun, but they would have made some kind of noise. Amen. Whatever started that, a flag or whatever, when that started, they wanted to see these guys giving 100%, but they wanted them staying within the lines. That's what made for a good race.
Yeah.
Amen. So they'd winnow some of these people out even before the race began. No, you're not staying in the lines. You're a cheater. Then maybe in training I was able to stay in the lines, but then when I really was racing, then I'm trying to take shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. Your course has been predetermined by God. I can't detour the course of God. Now His course surprises me sometimes. I don't know 10 feet in front of me. When it comes to the course of God, it's just like, He says, it's there. Just keep taking the next step. He said, well, how can I, Lord? He says, well, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You just continue to stay in the light. Stay in the light. I'm not going to shine the light somewhere I don't want you to go. And I would never shine the light in a place where I surely don't want you to go. It's a path of light. Amen. Run. Running with temperance. That means we must have self-control. I'm going to be done in just a few minutes here. This word temperate means to be to have self-control. But this is the thing. Self-control sometimes deceives us. We think somehow I can control myself. I'm sorry, you can't. Because the word temperance, I don't know if you've noticed that other places in Scripture, but in Galatians 5:22 it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. So if I'm running this race, what does that tell me? I got to be controlled by the Spirit of God and not controlled by my flesh. If I want to win this reward, I've got to be a Spirit-filled believer. I've got to allow the Lord to control my life. And then it gives us another little insight here. It goes on to say in verse number 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Now, what's the body? Well, that's the other side of your spirit. There's your body, and there's your spirit. Which means, if I don't teach my body to become the slave, then my body becomes the master. If my body becomes the master, my spirit has no influence on my life. So what he does is he tells you, this is how you can win your race. Keep making your body the slave. It doesn't call the shots.
Yeah.
And folks got to be very careful. You know, I'm trying to be very careful because I understand a lot of us, we've understood the weaknesses of our bodies in the last little while. A lot of coughing, a lot of flus, a lot of this, a lot of that. I mean, what do you do when you have a flu? Do you do what you want to do? How many of you do what you want to do when you have a flu? No, you don't. If I were to ask you, would you rather do something else and lie on the bed and puke? You'd say, yeah. So what's happening is the body's being the master. Now, I'm not saying you can do anything about that, but I think what the Lord is teaching us is this, that this is what it means when your body's in control. You can't do what you want to do. Now, I know tonight we got people at home. They're puking, they're coughing, they're sneezing. Yeah, I mean, we're going through it. There's a few sicknesses out there. And I say, you know, get your rest. And somebody says, "Pastor, I'm sick. I got to stay home." They think I'm going to say, "You come to church anyways." You know? No, I say, you sleep and get rest and drink, you know, get vitamin C and drink water and do all those things you need to do. Get well. Because you need to get back on top again where that spirit can be in control, and that, because you've got lots of work to do for the Lord. Amen. But it's an illustration to us on the weakness of our body. Every one of us have to go through it. And you know what? Maybe for the first 5 minutes, oh, I get to stay home. But you know what happens after that? Oh, I wish I could go away. I hate it here. Amen. The Lord is helping us understand some things. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So that verse is telling us that we're supposed to lead our body to subjection. Bring your body. Lead your body to subjection. So you have to make the choice to bring your body to a slave position. What will happen if you don't lead that? What's going to happen? Your body will be the master by default. If you make no choice, you're making a choice. Your body will run the show. That's why I say with our children sometimes, "Well, Dad, I don't like to do that." Well, now you have to do it. Because now we've got a principle to follow. You have to train your mind and heart to lead your body to be the slave. "Well, I don't like that lesson." Well, no, you wouldn't. But I'll tell you something. Once you lead that body to be the slave, at the end of that, all of a sudden it's, "Oh, I'm glad I did that." because the Spirit has been energized. The Spirit has become the master. And when the Spirit is the master, there's love, joy, peace, temperance, all these things that I need. And then I begin to discipline myself and keep myself in line because I got a goal set before me. I got a mastery to obtain. Amen? You're not going to do it with your body in control. No, sir. You're going to be a self-pamperer. You're going to be a thumb sucker. You're going to be someone sitting on the couch at home not wanting to do anything. No, everybody's going to do something. Oh, I'm just going to sit around. Your body is in control.
Amen.
Don't let it happen. You're going to lose your crown. You don't want to lose your crown. So make those decisions every day to lead your body to submission. Every day. Some of you do it very well. You do it very well. I'm looking at some of you, man, these guys are just like, go, go. They're telling their body, you're doing this, and their body is half dead, and they're still doing it. That's a good character.
Yeah.
Amen? It's good character. The Apostle Paul says at the end, and I'll be done after this verse, but it says, but I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So he says, if I don't lead my body to be the slave, what's going to happen is my mind will be reprobate in a way. That's what the word castaway means. If you look at that word castaway in the New Testament, it's translated as reprobate over and over and over. So, if I allow my flesh to control my life, my mind turns into mush. I lose my goal. I lose my focus. I lose my purpose. The things that I have learned and acquired in my life and made me wise, I am now becoming a fool. Yeah. Because if I don't stay on the right track and keep that Spirit energizing my life, my mind, the Bible says that you lose that which you have. So it's not like I've read the Bible 1,000 times and I'm so wise. Well, are you following the Lord? Are you doing the will of God? I can't tell you how many people have told me, I read the Bible every year. I know what it says. And I don't want to follow your Christianity. And I said, sometimes I say, well, you've read the Bible, but I know the Bible hasn't read you, because you wouldn't have said that. You wouldn't have said that. You're reading words, but your body's in control. The person whose spirit's in control knows when they read this book, there's a lot of changes that need to take place. Somebody that says, I read the Bible every year, and I don't believe in organized religion. I don't believe in going to church. Well, I'm sorry. Then you'll have to cut out a lot of the verses in this book.
Yep.
And it's funny how you read those over and over and never dawned on you that the book of Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus.
Yeah.
So, where did the Bible say I need to go to church? All I know is the Apostle Paul would have written that letter to the church at Ephesus. And you would have had your little, you know, body fest. You wouldn't have been there to hear it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been there to hear it. The preacher would have got a copy. He says, hey, the Apostle Paul just wrote a letter. And we're under the impression here that this is an inspired letter here, guys. This is the Word of God. From one of the apostles that's been proved by the signs and wonders and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have it in front of us and the people are just sitting there just, you know, because they put their body into subjection. They said, we're going to make a mastery of this church thing. We're going to make a mastery of learning the Word of God. And they sat there at the edge of their seat waiting for the preacher to preach this new letter. But no, the one that read the Bible once every year is sitting at home on the couch because I don't need church. I don't need organized religion. I'm sorry, you would have never heard the Word of God if you wouldn't have been in church. All you would have heard is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, because they would have thought you were lost.
Yeah.
This book, my friend, you know where it's read? You know where it's taught? in the house of God. How many of you have taught this on the street? Now, you may have used verses on the street, but you have not taught this book on the street. Because our message is not a lot of the topics that are here for the world. In fact, the Bible says in the world, we preach Christ and Him crucified. Outside of these walls, your message is simply that Jesus came, He's the Son of God, He died for you, was buried, and rose again. You don't need to talk about dress standards. You don't need to talk about all these other things. That, my friend, is for the house of God. Oh, the doctrinal aspects of the Scripture, the dispensation teaching and so forth. Wow, the book of Ephesus, they would have, Ephesians, sorry, they would have, that preacher would have said, hey, there's something going on here. He's telling us about another age and different ages to come and different things. And they would have been putting these stuff together in the house of God. Well, that just tells you once again that there's only one plan. The fact that you can lose your reward is telling you that there's a predetermined course that you're supposed to choose to follow. And if you follow that, there's rewards that are connected to that purpose. If you were to go on your own, how could you lose your reward? See, because it's the plan of God. The plan of God says, please come. I got a place for you. Yeah. Oh, I know my body, Jesus. My body, it's so important to me. I need more food. I need more toys. I need a new truck. I need to go fishing. I'd love to go fishing. Take me with. But you know, he'd say, oh, really? Don't you remember the parables that he said? He's inviting those to the wedding. He says, go call those people. Oh, they don't come. They got to go home. They got to go take care of business. Oh, well then go ask somebody else. Yeah. See, just the fact that you can lose your reward tells you there's a predetermined plan for your life. And you're going to miss it if your body's in control. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Yeah. If I'm going to determine what God's plan is for me, just go do it. Then how could someone else take my place? It's got to be God. It's got to be His plan. Amen? You don't dictate the plan of God. It's not yours to dictate. It's wonderful. You don't have to bear the weight of that. It's too much. You can't handle it. I've seen young people in college lose their brains over the fact, I don't know what God wants me to do. I'm just saying, dummy, just do what you're supposed to do today. You'll get there. Yeah. You just step where you're supposed to step, and then tomorrow another step, and the Lord will give you a little more light. You just keep stepping, and guess what? You're in the will of God today. You're in the will of God tomorrow. You're in the will of God next week. Well, where am I supposed to be 10 years down? Who cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're supposed to do in 10 years. All that matters is what you're doing today. The devil wants you to focus on the horizon. Yeah. He wants you to lose your crown. He wants you to step ahead of God. God says, be quiet. Wait on me. Wait on me. Yeah. Amen. That was good for a guy like me. My problem was, when he showed it to me, I was like, really? I had other guys, they're running 10 miles ahead of the light. It doesn't matter whether I'm the one sitting in the back or I'm 10 miles ahead, we're both losing our rewards. I need to stay up with God. What does He want you to do today? What is His plan for you right now? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next year. What are you supposed to do right now? You keep taking those steps. Well, preacher, He's never going to use us. He doesn't let us serve. It's not about that. Can I tell you something about service? We got a lot of stuff to do. But intention alone isn't going to get it done. You know what we need? Would you like to do this? Yes, sir.
Dad?
And they do it every week until Jesus comes. Well, preacher, that's asking a little much. How are we supposed to start a ministry when we don't have people that will commit themselves completely to do it till Jesus Christ comes again?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you'll be there till Jesus Christ comes again. He may call you, move you to a different ministry or whatever, but that is the mentality you have to have every step of the way. Every step. I had somebody come to me once, preacher, we should have this ministry. I said, that's not a bad idea. Who's going to do it? Well, I thought that sometimes I would do it. Then we'd ask somebody else to do it, too. I'm saying, who's going to follow that mess? who's going to make that schedule? Who's going to make sure that when you're not there and they're not there, who's going to be there?
Yeah.
You know what I want for a Sunday school teacher? Someone that I know is going to be there.
Yeah.
Someone that's not pride about where I'd rather be somewhere else. Someone that's not belly aching about, preacher never uses me, and you're already discontent in your heart. If you would be content and you take the steps in front of you, all the doors will open for your life. All the doors. The only one that's stopping your progress is you. Amen. I got a van. It's registered. I got a van that's got decals on the side today. Airdrie Baptist Church logo and everything. Who's going to drive it? Every week. Well, preacher, I got places to go. I got business to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying you're like that. But I'm saying this is what it's like when you're pastoring. You get criticized for not using people. But when you ask them, square in the eyeball, are you going to be there next week and the week after and the week after? Well, now I'm supposed to put all of that in the basket and say, let's go with it. Folks, serving God is serious stuff.
Amen.
I don't care if you're cleaning the toilet. I don't care if we're doing the Sunday school teaching. I don't care if you're ushering. This whole thing about, well, I can't do it. Well, maybe next time. Folks, there's no crown for that stuff.
Amen.
But don't you think for a second that there would be a crown for an usher that ushers for the mastery? Well, they're not going to Moldavia. They're not going to... It doesn't matter. I wonder how many faithful ushers will be in the line and they'll say, here's your incorruptible crown, my friend. Well done. They were the ones who the body wasn't the master. They were the ones that were spirit-filled. They're the ones who had a ministry and said, I'm ministering. I'm doing this for the cause of Christ. They're the ones that aren't looking to the horizon, but they're seeing the will of God right today, right now. Amen. That's where it all begins for you. Right now. Right now. Well, I'm just maybe not ready to surrender. Then you know where you're at. Then you know where you're at. Every Christian ought to be on their knees to an invitation like that. Saying, yes, Lord, whatever you want today, I'm doing it. I'm living my life in the light of your imminent return. Before you come back, Lord, I'm going to be striving for the mastery. In my church membership, in my Bible reading, in my love for people, in my service to God, in my care for souls. It's not just about soul winning time. It's about the people you've met this week. Who have you talked to? Who have you cared about? And I understand, sometimes the door doesn't open, but you know, it's not because you didn't want it. It was burning in your heart. Oh, Lord, open up that door. Oh, Lord, I want to get the gospel to this person. Maybe all you could do is just flip them a track. Maybe they'd listen to you, whatever, but you're concerned and you're striving for that mastery. Lord, please, use me. Or I get up in the morning, I go to work, and I meet the people. It doesn't even dawn on me that I've got a purpose. Where's that crown? Necessity. Willingly. Responsibility. Running the race. Obtaining. Striving. Mastery. Subjection. Spirit filling. Temperance. Amen. You want the recipe for crown? There we have it.